So we are looking at a minimizer of this energy function. This is a generalization of the classical Gibbs-Landau, where now the order parameter is defined everywhere. Here, DS is a bounded domain, simply connected with smooth boundary, as smooth as we need. And what we are assuming is, contrary to the classical Gibbs-Landau, is that the order parameter can trespass this boundary and also diffuse in the normal part, which we denote by dn. So dn is the whole space minus the bounded domain. Here, we are looking at a lot of parameters. There is A, which is a constant positive, and we take it positive, and what we mean by, and we do this because what we are assuming is that the outside, the material, is in the normal state, so it doesn't become superconductor. We are looking, mu is the permeability, which for the two-dimensional, the permeability, which is risked to be one inside the domain and a constant, a positive constant outside, so there is a jump there. And M also is a constant that depends on the materials, and again, it's risked to be one in the domain. DS is the superconductive domain, DN is the normal path, so it's Rn minus ds. We denote by kappa sub s the Gibbs-Landau parameter. There is an s because theoretically there are two materials, so theoretically the second material could be in a superconductive state, but it's not because we are assuming A is positive in this model. This is a model that is very old as far as the physics literature. The first reference on the physics literature that was given to me, so the first reference to a model like this that I know of in the physics literature is 1966. But it's a model that has been looked upon by Chapman, Du, and Gunzburg in 1995. The reason why we are looking at this model, and I'm using the plural, I don't know why, because it's me, the reason why I'm looking at this model is that I was really interested on the idea to see the boundary effects on the fact that normally in the classical Gibbs-Landau, what you have is that this normal condition, so you have the vacuum outside, or you have this degenerate boundary condition in where, which models the effect of the normal material in contact with the superconductor. And I was, and the physical literature says that the fact that there is this normal material on the outside should change things for example, has superconductivity nucleates at the boundary and things like that. So I took it from a very far distance, and I didn't study really that phenomenon. The first things that I look is, okay, let's see if there is existence of minimizer of this generalized energy. This slide is just to give you an idea of, if you look at the Lero-Lagrange equation of this energy, this is what you are led to consider as weak solutions. And so this is, as a minimizer, should be weak solution of this elliptic, no, I guess, semi-linear elliptic. Okay, so the first question that I, well, as in the classical case, these are solutions are invariants following the usual gauge transformation. And as in the classical case, we say that a weak solution is a normal phase if psi is equal to zero. So superconductivity is destroyed inside the bounded domain. I was first concerned with the existence of these finite energy weak solutions, and these results that Patricia Baumann was mentioning, the two-dimensional case is slightly easier because you can forget about the outside, and the three-dimensional case requires a little more technical work. For this case, it's exactly the opposite. Because the problem is that the order parameter is defined all over R2, and so you get constants at infinity are included in the space. So So you have to, and this is something that He Sun Yang realized long time ago when he studied the model defined all over the space, all over Rn, both for R3 and R2. And in fact, yes, two different papers, because the case R2 was, as you can see from the date, one R3 was in 89, R2 was in 94, because it was much more involved in the model. So what he winds up is that in reality you have to work with weighted trouble space, and in some sense this is, once you see it, it is obvious, because you have to look, this is where you look at, is that the same space that you use when you look at the Laplace equation on all over Rn, or on, exterior set or bounded set. So what we did, we look at this existing minimizer for two cases, the one of a constant applied field, which is, again, the one that was has been mentioned before, where the applied field is a constant times a unit vector, fixed unit vector, and a case where the applied magnetic field is in L2. The technique of Yang, with some remarks regarding the weighted trouble spaces, and pretty much you can extend this technique and find existence of this minimizer. And the next step that I'm working on is I'm trying to see, to recover, or to see in which sense I can recover these results regarding the existence of an upper critical field above which the only, here we have to add the finite energy weak solutions of the system I put up on the board before are only the normal states. Okay? Now let me explain, okay, so I'll make a remark. So first, these are the weighted trouble spaces that we use. This one for n equals 3, for those of you familiar with the work of Yi Sun Yang, for example, all the work where you consider three dimension, nothing else than the completion, they are equivalent to the completion of infinity 0 with the gradient norm, well, the gradient plus the divergence norm. So it's the classic, they have been called the H hat, H little dot, whatever, but they are equivalent. For n equal to, instead you need this type of weighted infinity, and again, the reason, these are the space where you solve the Laplace equation at infinity. Yeah, they have been called W1200. For those of you who are familiar with the work of Yi Sun Yang, he called it W circle 1, 2, or 3, or H1. They have been called differently in literature. So we can prove results for a Laplace magnetic field in L2. We can show that there is at least one global minimizer where psi is in H1 lock and. A is in W1200, and for the constant case of prime magnetic field, you can have these existence results, where now obviously it's not the magnetic potential in W1200, but it's the magnetic potential minus, this is the normal, you can think of this as a vector that capture the normal state at infinity. If mu e, if the permeability is 1 everywhere, which is, for example, the case of the two examples of classical Gibbs-Landau that have been put up on the board, it's exactly the normal state. For this, for finite energy weak solutions, you can get the classical results, some sort of classical, if you look at, again, the Yi Sun Yang work website defined all over Rn, that the order parameter is bounded by 1, and then there is a decay of the order parameter to 0 at infinity, and then obviously you expect some sort of some sort of exponential decay at infinity, because it's an elliptic system. The reason why you need to recover this type of behavior is for the second problem where we are interested, I was interested in the regard the generalization of finding an upper, a finite upper critical field in this general model. Because when you have this weak formulation, if you want to use your, anyway, when you have this weak formulation for your equation, you have these terms, and here to take limits and recover the magnetic potential, you need some sort of decay that for n equal 2 that kills the log behavior of the log behavior of the magnetic potential. So you need some sort of so you need this estimate basically. This is the estimate that you need to pass to the limit. Then I try to apply the machinery that we consider for the classical Ginzburg-Landau equation and try to find basically you find an upper bound, a lower bound for some eigenvalue, and then you show that there is a contradiction unless the order parameter is identically equal to zero. The machinery, the hope that the machinery works is that, as was mentioned before, it is based on a covering lemma that use this eigenvalue estimate on disk that Baumann, Phillips, and Tang have proved, I believe, in 1999. But that cover, basically, that covering lemma is, basically, what you need to do is cover a neighborhood of the boundary. So if you are working within a stereo domain, your boundary, not at infinity, your finite boundary is still of finite length. So you have a hope of using the same idea of covering. Okay, and it does work, and I do believe at least it works for n equals 2 almost. It works very well, and you can get the generalization of the result for the classical Ginzburg-Landau. For n equal 3, you have to assume that mu is identically equal to 1 everywhere, and you cannot, again, this is classically done, but if you look at the results for which the existence of this upper critical field was proven by Phillips and myself, we really use mu as a piecewise constant. So we really take into account that physically you have mu inside the superconductor different than mu outside in the normal outside the superconductor. And that makes things very difficult because you have that your normal state as a jump discontinuity in the coefficient. So you have this, I think, diffraction problem. Here things are much more complicated if you consider mu different than 1. And in fact, I don't even believe that you really can prove that it is true. I do believe that you probably can prove that as h tends to infinity, you have that the solution tends to the normal states. But I don't think that you really, I think it, you need at least any different techniques to prove that this is the same. You have this sort of the same estimates as far as the applying magnetic field goes, which are not here, no? And again, I want to point out that if n is equal to 3, we are assuming that there is not this permeability because it's very different. This is it.